who's not only a Talmud Chacham, but also has to be, oh, happens to be my cousin. So it's a distinct pleasure in many ways. Rabbi Sobolevsky has been the Rosh Kol at Marashah for many years. He's also a Rosh Yeshiva at Reese at YU, Yeshiva University, and also is a congregational rabbi up in New Jersey. But something personal I just want to share with you about Rabbi Sobolevsky. When I was, I don't even think I've ever shared this with you, when I was younger, probably around, well, when I was younger, sort of as we grew up, he lived in Riverdale, we lived in right near there, Rockland County, so we often visited their house, particularly around Hanukkah time. We'd go over for Hanukkah and light candles together. And one of the things that has always stood out in my mind about Rabbi Sobolevsky is not just, I mean, you'll hear about his Talmidim talking about his Chachma and the way he's able to teach and bring in his own Rebbeim into his learning and the way he's able to express the learning. But the thing that I find more incredible on a personal level, and this is something that's carried, I've carried with me all my life, is the intensity with which he does mitzvot. When I was about 7 years old or so, it was one of those times where I was at his house and we were lighting the Hanukkah candles, and there was a certain fire within him. There was a certain fervor within him as he was lighting the Hanukkah candles, like a kavanah that I don't often see in other individuals. And I see it in all the times that I've ever seen him doing mitzvot. Just the way he's able to daven and the way he's able to perform mitzvot is beyond just the chachma of just the intellect of learning. There's a certain fire and love of Yiddishkeit and mitzvot that he's able to express through everything that he does. And so for that, I have been deeply in awe of him and have learned a tremendous amount from him myself, both as a Jew, as a regular Jew, but also as his cousin. And I want to please welcome up Rabbi Sobolevsky.
Such a pleasure to be here. To hear, it's hard for me to say Rabbi Potak. I kind of know him as Yehuda, but I guess here publicly we have to call him Rabbi Potak. So really, you have a special schuss to be able to have such a wonderful new leader in your shul, in your school, and in your community. I'm going to take a risk and ask a question. I don't know whether anyone's going to know the answer. If you do, please let me know. Anyone here ever read Huckleberry Finn? Oh, good. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Okay, at least one or two. Any Tom Sawyer people here? Okay, got the same two guys. Okay, great. All right. Anyone know who wrote Huckleberry Finn? Who wrote Tom Sawyer? The same three guys. Anyone, let's see who wrote?
Mark Twain.
Okay. So Mark Twain happened to be a very, very famous American writer back in the 1800s, one of the most perhaps most famous American writers. And he also wrote one or two other phenomenal essays that are very relevant to the Jewish people. And I want to share with you one of them, why I think it's so profound, and why I think it's probably one of the most important lessons I think a young man or a young woman can learn. Mark Twain, imagine sitting in America, somewhere along the Mississippi River back in the 1800s, had met a couple of Jews, and he was wondering about this thing called the Jewish people. And he couldn't quite wrap his hands around why in the world there is a Jewish people. And what made this question so perplexing to Mark Twain is that, after all, there were many, many peoples in the ancient world. There were ancient Egyptians and ancient Babylonians and Greeks and Romans. And guess what? None of them exist anymore. Now, I know there are people who live in Egypt today, but there's absolutely no connection between the Egyptians of Paro and Mitzrayim and who lives in Cairo in 2019. And yes, I know there are people who live in Italy today, but they are not the Romans of old. And the people living in Athens today are not the ancient Greeks. And why is it that the Jewish people is still here? We are still around. We're the only representatives of the ancient world. But more than that, said Mark Twain, they're actually thriving. And if you look at it statistically, how many Jews exist in the world today? I don't have a ballpark idea around how many Jews there are today. 18 million, pretty good guess. Approximately 18 million. How many people live in the world today? Anyone have an idea approximately? I mean, the new baby is born in December. How many? 8 billion. Somewhere in the 7 to 8 billion category. I don't know if I do your math faster on your phones than I can. But, don't do that. But the percentage of Jews in the world is very, 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 very small. As the Torah says, Atem ha-ma'at mikol ha'amim, we are literally the smallest of the small of the nations. And yet, time and time again, the Jewish people have not only been here, but we've been, so to speak, in the headlines. And we've accomplished so many great things. I didn't even realize I should have incorporated into my drasha what was mentioned about the accomplishments of Israel today, the accomplishments of Klal Yisrael in so many ways. And Mark Twain was hands up and he says he doesn't understand it. Where does it come from? Why are they here? Why are they still thriving? And why are they always going to be here? And that's pretty much how the essay ends. So I'd like to do justice to the essay and write a part of it. I probably can't write as well literary as Mark Twain, but I think I can give the answer. Why we're still here. And the answer really lies in Parshas Kisisa, and it really lies in our entire understanding of the relationship between Hashem, the Jewish people, and the Torah. The basic premise and the basic truth is that Hashem is eternal. Hashem is described as being Haya Hoved Yia. He was, he is, and he will always be here. And as such, his word, his chokhmah, his wisdom, which is found in the words of Torah that we have the privilege of studying right here in this building, it was here, is here, will always be here. The Torah is nitzchius. The Torah is forever. The Torah is eternal. And therefore, the Jewish people who are entrusted with the Torah of Hashem are here forever. And that's why even at the moment where the Jewish people were almost destroyed after the terrible events of the Chet HaEgel, as we're going to read in tomorrow's Kriyas HaTorah, Moshe appeals to Hashem and says, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you promised that the Jews will be here forever, and it has to be that way. And Hashem said, yes, that is true. And I will spare them, I will save them, because there has to be a Jewish people. No matter what happens in the world, Hashem has promised us, if He is here forever, His Torah is here forever, then we are here forever as well. But I want to just conclude by sharing with you when I had a very unique privilege to share this little short of our Torah. It goes back approximately 10 years ago, when I had the opportunity to spend a very, very special time with a group of young men and young women, not all that much older than you, perhaps a couple of years, and they were young teenage years. It was in the city of Berlin. And those who know a little bit about history, about Jewish history of the last 100 years, know the significance of Berlin. Berlin is the capital of Germany. And Berlin was the place which was in a sense, the seat, the center where the entire Holocaust was planned and openly implemented. And all the terrible, horrific acts that befell the Jewish people all had their roots in those walls, in those streets of Berlin. Now in Berlin, it happens to be, believe it or not, strange world, there's a Jewish community in Berlin now. There's actually yeshiva in Berlin. It's a kollel in Berlin. And I was asked to speak several years ago, spent a little bit of time saying shiurim, to some of the young men, and there's a girls' school in Berlin, to speak and spread a little bit of Torah. Most of the students, the overwhelming majority of the students, were actually Balei Tshuva, who had come from, many of them had come from what had previously been the Soviet Union, Russia, the days of communism. Many of them had come from other countries in that area in Eastern Europe, who had almost of no background, almost of no exposure to anything Jewish. And slowly but surely, they were trying to build up a Jewish community with these Balei Tshuva in the heart of Berlin. And I was asked to speak to the young men and young women on a Friday night for a couple of moments, like I'm speaking now, and try to give them a message to walk away with. What can they take with throughout their lives? And I took a big risk, and I asked them the same question that I asked you, having absolutely no idea what the curriculum was in the high schools of Germany at the time. I asked them whether they had ever heard of Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer, and I got approximately the same amount of percentage of hands up. A couple of kids actually knew what I was talking about. And I told them exactly what I told you about the eternity of the Jewish people. But I ended by saying, I said, what greater testimony is there to the eternity of the Jewish people that we're actually sitting in that very city that had tried not all that long ago to destroy us, and yet the Jewish people are here. And Torah is here, and you are here. And hopefully, Emiyat Hashem, not only will you be the next link in the eternity of the Jewish people, not only in Boca, which is a beautiful, wonderful place to be able to learn Torah, but we know that Emiyat Hashem, we should all be Zocheh, to see the future and the dream of Klal Yisrael, back to where ultimately we all belong, back to Eretz Yisrael, back to Yishalayim, where the eternal message of the Jewish people always will be present. So Hashem should give you the ability to be able to connect, to be able to feel that you're part of something great, you're part of something which is real, part of something that is eternal. When you go and learn Chumash this morning, But when you come and you daven, and when you come and keep Shabbos and Mitzvah Shem tonight, you are being part of something that's been around for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, and it's up to each and every one of you to make sure that that continues until eternity. Everybody, a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. Keep up the wonderful, wonderful work. Keep on the television.